And now it's time to chat to Peter Allam, our legal eagle on duty this morning. Peter, very good morning on this rather chilly morning.
Yes, very, very chilly. Definitely a day for jerseys and heaters and
definitely
a car to your car heater as well. But so short winter, we hope, but very, very cold. Anyway,
indeed.
Our chat this morning is going to be on property again. You know, if you're buying a house, what is the position? We'll cover a bit that talks about the new Housing Act and also cover what the position is with regard to whom you choose as a conveyancer, what happens with the registration of your property. But let's start by saying that you're new in the game or you're looking for a new house. The word new is the common denominator, and you act to choose a property somewhere. Take your time, make sure that you find what you're looking for. You know, don't just jump into the first one and purchase that property because it's the right price, because you know you like it and you haven't seen anything else, so you think that that's the ideal property. In fact, that TV program, well, there are quite a few of them buying a house. You see the people, they look at three or four or five different homes before they make a choice with the agents overseas, which I think is fantastic and which is the advice that I would give to anybody purchasing a home. Make sure that you look at a number of houses before making a decision. You know what your budget is. You know what you can afford. And the nicest thing these days is that prior to wanting to purchase a house, you can go to a bank or bond crowd and ask them, what do I qualify for? How much can I buy a house for? What are my means tests? Tell me that I can afford to pay monthly so that you have an idea. I can buy for 100 rand. My installment's going to be 5 rand per month so that you're not out of your budget and that type of thing. So have a look at properties. Don't just look at one. Don't just buy the first one you see. Have a look at a whole lot of them. Make sure it covers your needs, that it's got the right number of bedrooms, got the right bathrooms, got the, you know, garage if you need it, got a backyard for the kids if you need that. Alternatively, if you're older and you need to get into a town complex or a little housing complex, shall I say, make sure that you choose the correct one, you know, that it's easily accessible, that they're not steps, and as you age, you're not going to be able to go up the steps and things like that. So the first thing is to look properly for a home and make sure that you choose the correct one. Once you find that with or without an agent, you need to submit a written offer. The agent will normally do that for you. I always say to my good clients that are close to me, if you want to bring it to me, I'll have a look at the offer that the agent wants you to sign before you submit it. If the offer is accepted, the seller's attorney will then draft a sale agreement. So you'll have an offer to purchase followed by a sale agreement. And, you know, you need to make sure that it's checked properly. And why I say go to an attorney, because you need to check the footstool clauses, the occupancy dates, the if you're going to go in beforehand, you know, the rental you're going to pay, the financing clause, to see that if it allows you to withdraw if the bank does not find value in your house, denies your bond, that's always a problem. I get a lot of people that say, oh, we've got a pre-bond of 2 million, and off they go. They don't realize that that is just a guideline to say you will qualify for that. But there are a whole lot of further terms and conditions attached to it. Once you find the property, you've got to go back to them. They will then send their bank inspectors out to have a value or a look and value the property to make sure that it's got that value. They won't just give you 2 million rand to buy any old thing. You know, a lot of people come along and think, I had one person once that said, the bank did us. You know, we found a house for 1.2. We qualified for 2. They only gave us 1.2. I said, well, that's the whole point. It's up to the sum of 2 million. It doesn't mean you're going to get 2 million because you qualified for it. There's got to be value in the home as well. You need to understand that they're giving you a bond and that they've got to have value as security. So you can't buy a 1.2 million house and take the other 800,000 to travel around the world to buy toys and cars and things like that. You know, some people think that way. So never sign without a lawyer's review is my saying to everybody that comes in. Let us have a look. I mean, you know, when people come in here, are we selling our house? I say, when the agent finds somebody, let us have a look at it for you, you know. it might cost you a small amount, one-off consultation, but at least then you've got peace of mind to make sure it's the correct one.
Yes, yes.
So if you're the buyer, again, if we go back to the buyer, you find the house, you put an offer in, the offer's accepted. Your next step is to go to the bank for a loan if you don't have the funds available. Very seldom these days does anybody buy with cash on hand. It does happen, but it's a rare thing. So you will submit your bond application. You need to make sure that the offer to purchase gives you sufficient enough time to allow the bank to evaluate the home, to inspect the home, so that approval can take place. They normally have a turnaround of about, I'd say, 10 to 14 days, to come back to you and say, okay, we're happy with that. We found value in the home. You can go ahead. They might come back and say, we don't find value in the home. There's too much to be done. You know, the person that they send out will have a look to see what the position is with all the different aspects of the home. Their checks that are put in place. So once it's been approved, then the next step is that the conveyancing attorney will make contact with you, and you'll have a property transfer to take place. You'll have one being the seller's attorney. You will do the transfer, and then you'll have the bond attorney who will do the registration of the bond. And there are expenses there as well that are maybe hidden. So don't just think that, you know, you apply for a bond of $2 million, you're given the $2 million, the house costs $2 million. You've then got all the other little differences such as bond registration costs, transfer duty payment, deeds office costs. And then, you know, that all builds up to the registration and final payment. So make sure that you know and understand beforehand what all those hidden expenses are. It's not just as simple as, $2 million, bank gave me $2 million, I'm moving in.
Yeah.
You've probably got another $300,000 or $400,000 in expenses. In respect to SARS and attorney's costs and bond registration costs and things like that. So make sure that you allowed for that. And also what a lot of people don't realize is that when you move into a house, there are going to be those few little changes that you're going to want to make.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're buying a home, make sure you've also got a little reserve to redo a bathroom or redo cupboards that are perhaps not up to your standard and that type of thing. You know, you might want to find that you've got a driveway with two little strips and you want to pave it. Take into account all of that. So don't rush into a purchase of a home without making a proper determined decision in that regard as to what you're going to need monetary-wise. One, for the purchase. Two, for the upgrade. Three, for the costs incurred that are compulsory. You know, you can't get away with it. You can't go to the attorney and say, oh, okay, so I found my house. I've got my bond. Can I pay you off over 6 months your costs? That's not going to happen. You know, no attorney is going to do that. So make sure that you've got that. And then, of course, your final checks. Make sure that you look at the list of deficiencies on the house or the list of what's wrong with the house. It's compulsory these days for the agent to do that. They must tell you what the defects are. They must tell you what needs attention. And also be careful that somebody hasn't just painted up over a damp wall and that type of thing. So if you're buying a house, it's an asset, it's a big thing. Make sure you do it correctly. I also often say to people, you know, you never look on top of the roof. And that's the most common problem that we find is people buy a house, move in, first rain comes, and the whole house leaks like you can't believe. People get into the ceiling and their buckets catching water, or there are no buckets catching water, it hasn't rained for a while and there's been no dampness coming through and that type of thing. So do a proper inspection. If you can, you've got a friend that can go and have a look at the house, check the windows, check the roof, check the electricity and all that type of thing. You are covered to a certain extent that you need an electrical certificate. You can insist on getting the house fumigated and things like that. You get a gas certificate if there's gas in the house and things like that. And, this is where we come to the new housing act that's not in operation yet, but is coming out. So, you know, it was published in January this year. And it's to get rid of the existing Homeowners Consumers Protection Act, and it gives you greater protection and support for those entry into the building industry or a wider reach for those people buying a house. You know, they're going to be, if you've got a builder, it's going to restrict him. He's got to be registered with the NHBRC, which is the National Home Builders Registration Council. Mm-hmm. He's got to have a certificate. There's got to be a certificate on your particular house that you're buying or building as well. So it's important to note that the protection and legal requirements are going to be there, that it's an extension to make sure that it will include newly built homes, it will include renovations that you're going to do, repairs, extensions, and all the rest of it. So that new act will protect you. It's a costly thing. Yes, it doesn't come for free. It's got to be registered. There's a cost involved. There's a double cost involved, one by the builder himself. He must be registered, and that costs him an annual fee, and then each individual home as well. So your home, if you're going to do something, needs to be registered, and you need to have a certificate for that. So don't be conned by the builders at the moment that say, oh, yes, I get you. Are we a member of the NHBRC? Mm-hmm. That doesn't help. Your home that he's going to work on must be registered as well. And, you know, the contractual rights and warranties are contained in that agreement with the Housing Act. So the builder has obligations to fix something that he maybe messed up, or fix something that he hasn't done in terms of the original quote that he gives you. So, you know, you need to watch that. Mm. You know, your common pitfalls are skipping the hidden defects professional inspection and that type of thing. Another thing you need to be careful of, and that comes into play, is that when you buy a house, they expect you to pay 3 months' rates and taxes in advance, sometimes 3 months for water in advance and things like that. So be careful of the municipal debt, and make sure that the attorney that is doing your transfer clears and clarifies at the municipality what they are in respect of any debt over there, rates clearance, water, lights, and that type of thing. You know, a big thing these days is that there is a such that you can only, as a municipality, claim 3 years back of arrears. But if they're 10 years of arrears, the arrears stay with the house. That's what people don't realize. I had somebody the other day that said, oh, they owed 100,000. You only got to pay 10. I said, No. That goes with the house. You're going to take over that debt. It's the house that incurred that debt. It's the house with whom it will remain. So you're actually excusing the seller by allowing it to go through without the rates and taxes being brought up to date. You know, the old water leak that they had and that. It doesn't take it away. It remains there with the house. So, you know, that's a pitfall that there is that needs to be protected and watched. And, you know, when I say don't rush into an offer to purchase, ensure that the conditions are correct. Ensure that if you're loaning money, that the bond is covered. Ensure that you have costs to pay for transfer duties, deeds office fees, bond registration, the ordinary attorney's transfer fees, and things like that. So it's all there, you know, and you got to be protected in that regard. I go back to the thing and say, never sign without a lawyer's review. Take it to an attorney and make sure that he's an attorney that deals in property. I had one the other day where somebody took something to an attorney, and from a contractual point of view, he told me, no, he checked to see that the contract was right. I said, but how can you do that? The person's come to you, they're buying a house. You need to know what the position is with regard to the house itself and the transfer duty, the conveyancing side of it. No, he wasn't asked that. He was just asked, you know, if it's a proper contract in place with proper signatures and things like that. He misunderstood what they were looking for. So be careful there. You know, your conveyancer as well. The seller chooses the conveyancer in South Africa. The buyer doesn't get to choose, but he can choose and you can agree. You know, some people are desperate to sell. So when you go along and say, I'll only buy if my attorney does the conveyancing, a lot of people consent to that. But then you need, you know, we at Adams brag that if our buyers want us to do it, we protect the seller. We're not there to then go all out for the buyer and see where we can find bullet holes in the seller to the advantage of our client. We will look after the seller and the buyer. If I see you in the street, I want to look you in the face. You know, that's one policy that I have in life, is that I don't want to walk into a supermarket and there goes Wayne and I've got to duck the aisle.
Yeah, sort of duck down the meat aisle while I go down the vegetable aisle.
yeah, down the vegetable aisle, and I'm off to the other aisle that I don't even want to go to. So, you know, you've got to be careful over there. Check what has happened. You know, find the right property correctly. That's the thing to do. When you make the offer, make sure that you've done it with an attorney. And like I say, when it comes to the conveyancing side, you know, municipal charges must be sorted, rates and taxes must be sorted. Levies are very important. A lot of people are in complexes or grouped into a housing scheme. You need to make sure that all of that is clear. You can't do a transfer without a conveyancer. That's the last thing. And if the, you know, the conveyancer is honest and open with you, then, you know, he will cover all of that for you. You know, who is responsible for what? It's another thing that people say. The seller must provide documents like the title deed and the clearance certificates that we've spoken about, and he would be responsible for the cancellation of any bond that he may have on the house. You don't become responsible for that. The other day I had somebody and they said, but it says the buyer will cover all costs. The buyer's not there to cover your costs of a bond that you have that exists. That's got to be cancelled, unfortunately.
There's
a cost involved.
Yeah,
people also come along and say, but you know, we bought the house 30 years ago. We paid it off 20 years ago. You've still got to cancel that bond. If you haven't cancelled that bond at the end of the time, it remains there. And then it comes through where you've got to cancel it. Another thing that sellers don't realize is that, you know, if you've got a bond, you can't just say tomorrow, I've sold my house, I want to settle the balance. They will penalize you. All bonds normally carry a 3-month penalty for early cancellation. So if you intend putting your house on the market, give notice. You don't have to, you know, go ahead with the cancellation of the bond, but say to the people, I'm selling my house, so that you can at least get rid of that 3-month period that almost all bond originators or providers have in there. So, you know, the seller is responsible for that. The buyer, yes, he must pay the transfer duty, registration fees, sign all the documents and all the rest of it. So, you know, another thing as well is that a lot of people think that they can come along and they say, I want to buy your house, but I don't have the means to get a bond or anything like that. Can I give you a 500,000 rand deposit? We'll move in and we'll pay you monthly 10,000 a month because we can afford it until we pay the purchase price. Not with property. That's not something that can happen. It's got to be properly registered in the deeds office. So you cannot buy property, immovable property, on a contract, a shake of the hands, and that type of thing. And it's sad to see how many people do that. In fact, at the moment, I have one where the person's been living in the house for 15, 20 years, been paying, the old man died, and the kids have now come back and said, you know, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to buy the house? And the person said, but I bought the house. I paid your dad a deposit, and I've been paying monthly, and I'm nearly finished.
Yeah.
And they said, well, give it to us in writing. It was nothing. It was a shake of the hand 20 years ago. You know that, so, and it's meaningless
because,
you know, the house has gone up in value. The person has maintained it because they've looked after it as their own, and they're going to lose it. There's nothing I can do for the people. You know, there's no proof of any nature whatsoever that a contract was entered into. The kids are saying, no. Dad told us that you're looking after the house because he's moved back out of East London down to Cape Town, and you know, you were a long-term tenant. And, of course, there's also nothing in writing, no lease or anything like that. So the one crowd says, but show me the lease. And the other said, show me the sale agreement.
The sale, you know?
So
yeah.
It's there, stuck in the middle with nothing. So registration is important. And property, don't make a mistake. Go and see an attorney. Get proper advice. Make sure that your mind is at peace, that what you are doing is correct.
Is correct. Because in that case, Peter, that house, as far as the deeds office is concerned, still belongs to the previous owner. It's still registered because it hasn't changed.
Clearly.
Wow.
No mention of any nature whatsoever of the person who alleged that they purchased it is to be found. So, you know, when going to do something with property, make sure you find the right house, that you have the finances to do it, that it's properly recorded. You know, the purchase and sale of a home must be properly recorded in writing. And also, you can't just go there and get an HP agreement done by an attorney. It needs to be done by conveyancer. It needs to be registered at the deeds office. You know, you can buy an installment sale system. There is a place for that in the housing situation, but it's got to be done and registered properly. Yeah, wow. That's where we are today. Interesting buying a house. Like I say, never sign without checking with your attorney what the position is. That's my advice to all homeowners, be you old, be you new, be you whatever. And the same to people selling. Make sure that you understand what you're in for. You know, when you say you're going to give an electrical certificate, for example, it doesn't just mean that somebody comes along and says, oh, the house is in order. If they find fault,
then it's,
those have got to be fixed.
They've got to be corrected.
You don't get the certificate. You know, that can cost you 10, 20, 30,000. And also as a buyer, make sure that you look for pads and things like that, you know. A lot of people are bad in that they'll take an extension cord from one room to another, tap it, correctly against the little floorboards and things like that, and it runs into the room next door. When they come to inspect, they're going to pick that and take it off. It's not allowed.
Yeah, you know,
doesn't say you can't have an extension cord, but you can't use it as a plug from one room to another.
In the next room. Yeah, that's just one example.
Often people put dividers up, so the room only had one plug in it, and then they take an extension cord through to where they've put the wooden divider into the room. You know, the old houses have got big rooms, and they divide it into two comfortably.
Yeah.
And then the plug in the other room is not a proper plug. That will be taken out. You won't get a certificate out of an electrician or something like that. The same with wood borer. Make sure that you understand whether or not you have got any problems insofar as insects are concerned. That's not a compulsory certificate. You can do away with it, but make sure it's correct. The other thing that's become very, very strict is your gas certificate.
Gas, yes.
You know, more and more people with electrical problems and that and the saving of electrical now have gas geysers, have gas stoves fitted. You need to make sure that a proper person does that. You know, you can get away with a stove with a little small gas bottle inside or outside, but you can't get away with a big 19 kg or 48 kg bottle for a geyser and for a stove and that type of thing that you've installed. It's got to be in a proper cage. It's got to be certain distances away from electricity. It's got to be certain distances away from motor vehicles. It's got to have protection poles so that if a car drives into it,
it can't damage it.
They hit the pole first and that type of thing. There are lots of rules and regulations there. And that's a compulsory certificate as well. As is an electrical fence, another one.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, I've got an electric fence around the house, so I'm covered and protected. As the seller, make sure that that thing is in top notch and in working condition because the compulsory certificates are electric fence, electrical wiring certificate, and a gas certificate. Those three are compulsory. You cannot do away with it. Down in Cape Town, they have a water one as well, which is very good, but not introduced into any of the other provinces at this stage. So, you know, as a buyer, that's what you've got to check. You've got to check for wood borer, electricity, fencing, gas, dampness, roof correct. It's just such a long checklist that you need to make sure is in place with property.
And very much an argument to get an attorney to check things out.
Yeah, and to, you know, to it assist. Costs a little bit. It costs a little bit, but it's so easy.
Right, right.
So easy. Yeah.
And talking attorneys, if somebody wants to reach you, Peter, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yeah, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, little side street where Pep Stores is, or they can get us on 043-721-0018. I repeat, 043-721-0018. And they can also look us up on Facebook, just add a S to Alum, Alums. And they'll find all our details there and contact details. And, of course, always on Wild Coast FM, they're going to your site. They can find us there as well.
Great stuff. Peter, thank you very much. Have a good week. Stay warm.
Thank you, Wayne. Same to you.
Cheers then. Thanks, Peter. That's Peter Alum with today's Legal Eagle Chat.